There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. A couple hours of live local talk. You and I, phone number and the text line. If you're new to this, it's 343-0106. Also, 251-343-0106. Same for a call, same for a text, but I'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from you as well, you can use the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. That's waiting for you. It's for free. It's waiting for you at the App Store for iPhone users or Google Play for Android users. And just search for FMTALK 1065. You'll see our logo. Hit that and you can download it right there. Plus, we've got a Dalton got a QR code made for us. So we'll have the super QR code so you could just scan it with your phone and get it loaded on your phone as well. But with that, not only do you have the streaming and up-to-the-minute traffic map and weather information, all the podcasts, 55 hours a week of podcasting, plus our social media feeds, all kind of other features there, show schedule, all that on there. You also have a, you'll see an icon on the front screen of a microphone. You could press that and leave us a message. It emails it to us, and we'll play it back on the air. So check it out, the brand-new FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, as we get into this hour, let me give you a note here on events coming up for the somber anniversary of 9/11. I got this from our friends over the battleship. It said USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park will host a commemoration ceremony marking the 20th anniversary of September 11th. Service will take place this Saturday, 9:30 a.m. at the Fallen Heroes Memorial on the grounds of the park. Major Brad Israel, Infantry, U.S. Army, will serve as a keynote speaker for the event. And once again, that is open to the public, free of charge, public invited to attend. That is 9:30 on Saturday morning. Among the activities planned at the park will be the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation 5K run and walk. Opening ceremony takes place at the grounds of the park at 7:30 in the morning. Race will begin at 8 a.m. Race will begin in the park, run through the Bankhead Tunnel, turn around and come back to the park. For registration information, you can go to I'll tell you what, you can send me a link. I'll give you a quick link to it. You can go to the Facebook page for the battleship. Also, Tunnel to Towers 5K. You can search that. But I have the direct link here. I can hook up for you, or you can call them at Battleship Memorial Park. All right. So that's coming up. And by the way, tomorrow, a interview about this Tunnel to Towers run and walk we've been doing for these years here in our area, and we'll talk about it tomorrow on Midday Mobile. I use this as a transition point here with the discussion of 9/11 that President Biden has signed an executive order now calling for the declassification review of the 9/11 documents. Now, remember we talked about this last time. Our discussion was, it was a couple weeks back. It was before the disaster in Afghanistan. It was before that, and it was maybe right at the cusp of it. It was families of 9/11 victims that said if they didn't do this, if they didn't move forward with declassifying this document, then President Biden was not welcome. This was the family saying this as a group. He was not welcome at the 9/11 events. The story here from Politico says President Joe Biden signed an executive order on Friday directing the Department of Justice and other government agencies to review documents related to the FBI's 9/11 investigations for potential declassification, which fulfills a campaign promise just days before the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks. Biden's order requires Attorney General Merrick Garland to release the declassified documents publicly over the next 6 months. So it's going to be kind of dribbled out, kind of like the UFO stuff was, right? It did have a culmination there in June, but it was a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Okay. President's executive order came after nearly 1,800 Americans directly affected by the attack issued a statement opposing Biden's participation in any memorial events this year unless he upholds his pledge to declassify the documents. Evidence they believe may show a connection between Saudi Arabian leaders and the events. A quote here, this comes from the group of family members, said since the conclusion of the 9/11 commission in 2004, think about that. 04, they finished this. Much investigative evidence has been uncovered implicating Saudi government officials in supporting the attacks. Continues here, through multiple administrations, the Department of Justice and the FBI have actively sought to keep this information secret and prevent the American people from learning the full truth about the 9/11 attacks, end quote. Now, in addition here, thousands of victims' relatives have sued Saudi Arabia back in 2017 for complicity, and families have pushed four U.S. presidents to no avail to release more information about possible Saudi involvement in financing the terrorist attack. Advocates were outraged last year when then-Attorney General William Barr said the documents must stay classified to protect national security, just months after former President Donald Trump had promised to free the FBI files. Okay, so one of the questions, the big question they get to it here, is what's going to come out about Saudi involvement. And it's interesting, and I'm paraphrasing here, but officials have said, you know, in so many words, the top-ranking officials with the Saudi government were not involved in the 9/11 attack. Remember, 15 of the murderers were Saudi citizens. Remember that. And they say that it's semantically interesting, and I'll have to get the quote, and if somebody can find it, Dalton, if you can Google it, or Leanna. But the quote was very specific to saying, well, if you are a top-ranking Saudi official, so in other words, it leaves room for saying somebody who's a mid-pack or something like that, a mid-pack Saudi official could have been involved in this. And that's what a lot of people are asking, saying, aren't they involved in this? How much did Saudi officials have to do with this? And if that is true, and it comes out as true, do we continue? And yes, I do realize that those are do the show for full for clarity here. I am I'm not super happy with having. I understand why we have the Saudis as allies, but it's just one of those things I do not like. If this comes out and shows that the Saudi government was working with the 9/11 murderers, the hijackers, what do we do? What do we do then? This relationship that sells, you know, all these munitions to Saudi Arabia, feeding the jobs and the profits here in the States, at the same time keeping the oil flowing from the Saudi. What do we do in that point when this comes out? But it is, once again, they said President Biden has signed this executive order, and over the next 6 months, we'll get this information. Now, how much of this comes out before Saturday, I don't know. It doesn't say. But what does happen? What does happen when we come out and say, if it does show that the Saudis had a hand, the government of Saudi Arabia had a hand in what happened in 9/11? All right, I grab some text on this as well, and we'll get some calls, a couple other subjects this hour. Tim says it'll show the Saudis will be heavily involved in the 9/11 attacks in some way. Paul says, and why did we go to Afghanistan? Well, why we went to Afghanistan is that was the training ground for terrorists. We had a Taliban government that was cool with this being, you know, it's like the whatever baseball teams have their you know, where they go for spring practice, their other city. I mean, that's what it was, right? We had people training there and launching missions that ended up coming to our shores on 9/11 that had had their genesis in Afghanistan. So, you know, Paul, that's why we went. Paul says, makes the Bush family seem deviant. Listen, there's a lot of questions. You have four administrations. I mean, you have Democrats and Republicans. They're like, yeah, you can't see this. Yeah, you can't see this. I would suggest we need to know. I mean, there's... If these are allies of ours, it's worth asking, how deep did this go? This text here from Alan. I suggest that once the Democrat Party achieves the condition of bankruptcy for the U.S., it will give itself license to redistribute the remaining wealth to their people. All right. Chuck says 16 of the 19 territories. I thought it was 15, but yeah, I'm not going to argue. It's just disgusting either way, Chuck. 16 of the 19 terrorists were Saudis on 9/11. Of course, Saudi Arabia is involved. Let's get the information. Let's get the information. I'm with the families, the 9/11 families, on this. How about you? 343-0106. So we could talk about that some more. Also, thank you. Walt has sent me some pictures. I saw some earlier. Sad deal in Houma. What he saw, he's going to join us later on this hour, kind of talk about. He's one of the groups that delivered goods to Louisiana over the weekend, and he's going to give us an account of what Houma is like. You get a lot of video, get a lot of still pictures and discussions of New Orleans, and that's not wrong. And communities like Laplace that really took it right on the chin from Ida. But let's talk about those places like Houma as well. We'll do that later on in the show. And also coming up, jobs numbers. Let's look into this. So job numbers are out. And I wonder if it's a fair question here. As you look at the jobs number, I put this note to myself. What responsibility do blue states have in this? Okay. So Axios says today, COVID-era economic data tends to be noisy and problematic to interpret. But Friday's disappointing jobs report, one thing was pretty clear. It's Delta's fault. In other words, the variant. Says, in some ways, that knowledge is a good thing. It has a quote here from Jeremy Schwartz, Director of Global Strategy and Economics at Credit Suisse. Says it was definitely not as much progress as we were expecting, but the silver lining is you can pretty clearly point to the cause of the weakness, end quote. Goes on to say, we can be confident that this isn't a trailing off the recovery into a new run rate. Look no further than the weakness in restaurants and bars to prove Delta's blame. And so we'll get in those numbers when we come back and talk about that. But my question is, you have the Delta variant as an issue, but what responsibility do programs instituted in blue states have to do with those numbers? Talk about this when we return. 1218 FM Talk 1065.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, 1222 FM Talk 1065. Midday Mobile, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, get to some of these texts here and also get into this jobs number story. All right. Bob said, this is interesting. Bob says, when the documents are released, meaning the 9/11 documents, will it be accepted or will it be much like the Warren Commission? It's interesting how it will be. Will it be so incongruous with our relationship with Saudi Arabia be tamped down? Or will there be much of nothing? Will it all be redacted? Bob, it's something that's in our future. I don't know the answer to that, but it's a very strong question you framed there. There's a lot of people that are saying, you know, kill them all. You know, people talking about drop the bombs and not there, but knowing that if there's somebody who is, we call our ally. And listen, I get that if we get rid of Saudi Arabia, you know, our biggest ally in the region, that's probably a bad move politically. But we got to, yeah, I know you could talk about Jordan and Jordan being an ally, but Jordan's not right there where the oil is. So it's a little more complex than that. All right, jobs report. And then we can jump back and forth on these. Also, I got a story coming up, new details out about coronavirus research at the Wuhan lab and how much we knew about American dollars going there. We'll get to that in a second. All right. So Axios today talks about the job numbers. It says deconstructing August disappointing jobs report. Goes in and says, Economists have expected 750,000 new jobs to be created in the month of August. We got a measly 235,000. Other stats within the BLS's Friday report showed some signs of momentum. For one thing, the job finding rate, or the rate at which unemployed individuals found jobs, increased for a second month in a row. Couldn't that be affected by people getting back in the job market? Because we know the jobs are there, right? But people show back up to take them. Says both June and July jobs numbers were revised up, adding a total of 134,000 additional jobs. Overall unemployment declined from 5.2 to 5.4%. Underemployment dropped by more than the headline unemployment rate from 8.8 to 9.2%. Some disparities became starker in August. Unemployment rates for black men and women both rose, while they went lower for white men and white women. Pockets of increasing unemployment combined with lower than expected overall growth could, on the margins, provide Congress with more incentive for getting an infrastructure deal done. Now, come on. They're getting an infrastructure deal done for a lot of other reasons than worrying about these Americans. And let me point something out, too, because the infrastructure deal, obviously the baby of the Democrats here and moving it through, even though you have some bipartisan sign on in the Senate. That's with the $1.3 trillion portion. Now they add the $3.5 trillion to it. That's the sidecar with all the, you know, less wants in there, their wish list. But what responsibility do blue states have in this? I'll say this, like the two things I see trending right now. Here's the flex. If you're a governor of a blue state, you know, you're gonna reinstall mandates, mass mandates, schools, all these things. This is how you show how Democrat you are, right? That's your flex. And then on the flip side, Republicans are putting in mass mandate bans as the flex there. So this is a discussion of do we get to the science of this? I don't know. Because you ask a different person different question, they all have different science for you. But is this truly a science question that we see differently in these states, or is it a question of the politics of those states? And so therefore, if you would follow with me and say it is the politics of that state, then if you're going to look at the responsibility and the jobs numbers, I'd like to see it broken down state by state. I think the 750,000 fail, you know, which is what they were short about 500,000 some odd jobs. I bet you look to blue states and their mandates here and their additional reasons not to go to work, and you're going to see this is a story that's going to be a story of the blue states. Not saying they're in some effect in some red states, but this is going to be, the jobs number is not going to be something that's across the fruited plain evenly. It's going to be as percentages, not just per capita. As percentage, I think it's going to be set in these blue states. And so when you start going, woe is me, look, we've got these bad jobs numbers here, which is a big deal. You know, the Biden administration already on the ropes, and then you look at the economics here on coming in with bad news. You have to look to your own party, President Biden, for why that's coming out and why those numbers are there. If you take a state where they're going to shut everything down again, and then people then don't go to work because you've incentivized not working and made it hard for the small businesses there to find people and get them in, then whose responsibility is it? It's your party. Jason, how many shovel-ready jobs will be in the infrastructure plan? I have no idea. I think Jason's trolling me because he knows that shovel-ready stuff drives me crazy. Such a political term. Larry says, in combination with Hurricane Ida hitting our oil refineries and our oil rigs offshore, and with our shaky relationship with Saudi Arabia, it sure would be nice to have the Keystone Pipeline funneling oil from Alaska and Canada down to the southern refineries. True that, Larry. Unnamed texture, besides oil, what do we need the Saudis for? I thought they were the largest producer of oil in the world. Also easy to make cars run on natural gas. Let the Saudis PO. Unnamed texture, I'm a fan of what you say, but here's the problem. That system, there's so much money in it, right? We buy Saudi oil. They buy tons of American military equipment. I mean, it's just that started in post-World War II, right after World War II, this relationship between us and the Saudis. Oil for guns, and guns, y'all, means aircraft and high-tech equipment. I mean, it doesn't just mean guns, but for munitions, for military armaments, right? So we buy their oil, they buy our military equipment. So, how, I mean, do we want to, if this report shows that the Saudi, let's say mid-pack Saudi officials were involved in 9/11, do we just shut it all down with them? Or do we say, okay, we know this, but we're going to move on? What do you do with that information? Come back, we'll talk more about that with you at 343-0106. Plus Cleanwater Alabama, a new water preservation group launching on the Eastern Shore. They're going to join me in hour number two to talk about this. Pretty interesting. You'll want to hear this. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Get to your text here in a second and your phone calls at 343-0106. Right now, let's check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars and talk about inventory. Hey, Larry.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. And inventory in vehicles and also financing.
We've got a great inventory, great selection, cars, trucks, SUVs, midsize, full-size, trucks, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, crew cabs, extended cabs. And like I said, we got a great selection of cars and midsize SUVs, as you know.
Yeah, we know that the variety of vehicles serves us as the customer when we come out to LCM to find that vehicle we want. Why is the increase in financing options help us? How does that work?
Well, you know, we keep signing on new lenders, and they all have their different criteria, their different stipulations. They got different rates. They got different terms. So it's our job, and we've got many years of experience to marry the customer to the right lender to get up the best deal so they pay back the least amount of money.
Love it. Tell people how to find you.
Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Right, some of these texts here. Unnamed texter takes a lot of oil to go to war. And Saudi's interest to trick us into bombing everyone but them. Yeah. Oh, okay. Unnamed texter who said earlier, he said, my question about the shovel-ready project, he said, the Biden administration produces tons of stuff that is already shovel-ready. I get that. Mark, Saudis might be buying U.S. military equipment half off from Afghanistan. Can you imagine, Mark? My gosh. It's a tough one. It's not, I mean, this is the deal. It's why we don't... We'll send troops in some places or intervene in some places and not others, right? You've got to look at the overall interest to this country. Is it a clear and present danger or not? As we look at international entanglements for the United States, because if you're saying it was just in need or being on the right side of history, then and I'm not for this, y'all. But why wouldn't we invade North Korea? We got nukes, yes, but is that the only determining factor on these things? So, and what happens when, you know, you come out and you have this information come out about the Saudis? If it is, you know, as bad as we think it might be, I'm not sure it is, but what do you do with that? Is it even more embarrassing, I guess, going forward, if we're not going to do anything to break a relationship or change a relationship with the Saudis, if this information that President Biden has signed off on now that's going to come out is just truly damning? Do we then just live with that? These are hard questions out there. Also, I mentioned new details emerging about coronavirus research at a Chinese lab. Now, this is as we go on the what Fauci said then, what's coming out now, you know, those kind of stories from The Intercept. Now, this is Glenn Greenwald's publication, right? He's hiding out on Ipanema Beach or something like that. But Greenwald's done some good journalism over time. I know a lot of people aren't happy with him, but there's a lot of stories we've been talking about that might not have been without him. So the subheadline is more than 900 pages of material related to the United States-funded coronavirus research in China were released during a FOIA request or FOIA lawsuit by The Intercept. It says here, newly released documents provide details of U.S.-funded research on several types of coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. Now, this is, remember what we've been told by the administration, told by Fauci, right? Even though they got the emails there that they, you know, we weren't funding this. We were funding other things, right? But not specifically this. Well, goes on here in the story. Say The Intercept has obtained more than 900 pages of documents detailing the work of EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based health organization that used federal money to fund bat coronavirus research at the Chinese laboratory. The trove of documents includes two previously unpublished grant proposals that were funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, as well as project updates relating to EcoHealth's Alliance research, which has been scrutinized amid increased interest in the origins of the pandemic. So two things, like, you know, last year you couldn't dare mention that there's a chance that this virus could have escaped from the lab in Wuhan, right, without getting terminated on social media. Now it's an okay thing to say. Now here's the next part of it that people were talking about last year, is how much involvement did our tax dollars have in this? Well, Gary Ruskin, executive director of the U.S. Right to Know, a group that's been investigating the origins of COVID-19, said this, meaning this document, there's 900 pages, this is a roadmap to the high-risk research that could have led to the current pandemic. End quote. One of the grants in this 900-page release is titled Understanding the Risk of Bat Corona Emergence, end quote. Once again, do I need to go back here? The title of the research was Understanding the Risk of Bat Corona Emergence, Coronavirus Emergence, end quote. Put lines on an ambitious effort held by the led by the EcoHealth Alliance to screen thousands of bat samples for novel coronaviruses. The research also involves screening people who work with live animals. The document contains several critical details about the research in Wuhan, including the fact that the key experimental work with humanized mice, which is a whole other creepy world, humanized mice was conducted at a biosafety level 3 lab in, anybody, where, anybody? Wuhan University for Animal Experiment, okay, which is the other campus there, not the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as previously assumed. So now you can look back, and when they deny that, well, it wasn't from the virology lab, well, they're saying it's from the other department where they're doing that research. The documents raise additional questions about the theory that the pandemic may have begun in a lab accident, an idea that Daszak has aggressively dismissed. The bat coronavirus grant provided to EcoHealth Alliance with a total of $3.1 million, including $599,000 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology used in part to identify and alter bat coronaviruses likely to infect humans. Even before the pandemic, many scientists were concerned about the potential dangers associated with such experiments. The grant proposal acknowledged some of these dangers were, quote, field work involving the highest risk of exposure to SARS or other COVIDs, while working in caves with high bat density overhead and the potential for fecal dust to be inhaled. So that I could put this link up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065 so you can look through the detail. But the key is they're talking about U.S. grant dollars and drawing a line specifically to this gain-of-function research. It says the grant initially awarded this other one for a five-year period from 2014 to 2019. Funding was renewed in 2019 but suspended by the Trump administration in April of 2020. Y'all remember that? So the whole discussion that there weren't, like, we would give money to WHO, but none of that went specifically into this gain-of-function research. Well, if you're looking, I mean, you're looking at what they're saying here, there's specifically earmarked amounts of money going into exactly what we're talking about. It's going into inside the lab, in the cave, looking for bat coronaviruses. Now, do you make this jump and say that's necessarily equivalent with gain-of-function research? Well, what else were they doing with it? Because they say further in the story here, they said the viruses they constructed in Wuhan, in this lab, were tested for their ability to infect mice that were engineered to display human-type receptors on their cells. Remember that? So they're testing that. And yes, according to this story from The Intercept, you can look at it, $3.1 million or $599,000 is the other breakout here. Money that sure looks like it went to fund coronavirus research. So it's a, I mean, this is, as we look at the things that have brought Fauci down, right? Things that, and everybody goes back to, well, Fauci said to wear a mask at first and then he changed his mind. Okay. That's such old news. That could be that could be shaken off by saying, listen, I wanted to make sure that there wasn't this, which he has, a run on the N95 masks that we needed so desperately on the front lines of fighting the coronavirus. That's one thing. But if you have Fauci saying, well, no, we didn't have money going to this gain-of-function research, then what is this? What's this information? You can, like I said, read the whole story on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. All right, more tweets or more text on this. Let's see. I don't know. The Saudi documents, by the way, they said over the next 6 months. Today, just the story was that President Biden on Friday signed the executive order to start releasing the 9/11 documents that have been finished since 2014. It said over the next 6 months. I do not know when the first will drop, but believe me, we'll let you know. Any other questions about the jobs numbers here? So just a question, and I want to look because we're looking at the overall jobs numbers, right, that come out. But let's look at a breakdown state by state. I don't have that in front of me, but I think it's worth looking at. We'll look at a breakdown of like what states are leading to it and how much of that is like a California or a New York state, or is it even across the board? I have a feeling it has states with blue governments leading to more than their share of the numbers going into this jobs report. All right, coming right back. It's more Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. This show, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Also, a note here. I just want to update this, and I don't want to get... Devin, I don't want to get cross with you, because be the object of her scorn here, but see a note here also from our news partners at WKRG that the ferry has reopened. So we had this morning, the story was that the Mobile Bay Ferry was closed because of COVID. Now an update, Mobile Ferry announcing via Facebook service will begin again. So this morning, so 11 o'clock. So they got back to it. So the ferry is, as I know it now from this story, the ferry is back open. So if you're going to do that, that's a thing. All right, we'll go to the phones and check in with my buddy Walt. Now, I talked about my buddy Walt a bunch last week as he was getting goods donated to haul over a couple trailers worth to home in Louisiana. And he did just that. He sent me some pictures that were jaw-dropping this morning from over there, and he joins us now. Walt, your trip to Houma, wow. The pictures, all I got to say is wow.
Yeah, that didn't come close to what's going on. One thing I got to get out first, and this is for all of my people and friends and family in Houma. Hurricane Ida did not make landfall in New Orleans.
Right.
Hurricane yep. Ida made landfall 250 miles south. Now, there's not a whole lot of land to make landfall, but... they have been completely dropped off and gone like they didn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to let that. I've seen that stuff before in storms like the Mississippi Gulf Coast during or after Katrina. So much focus on New Orleans, which was rightful, but they didn't pay attention to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It seems like from what you're telling me, same thing's happening for Houma's and Grand Isles and Cutoff and La Rose and Galliano and all that stuff.
Yeah, the reports I know from people who have been there was Grand Isle is gone.
I saw a flyover. I mean, it's horrible. Yeah, horrible.
Completely uninhabitable. A lot of the lower Dulac, Fushan, a lot of the other smaller communities, Cocodrie, there you are devastated.
Well, let's talk about that scenario in Houma, what they need. So the pictures, the pictures, and we'll try to get them put up. Walter said of the, I mean, telephone poles, just, I mean, looks like a logging deck with a number of, those down. I mean, it's a long time, I imagine, before they're going to get power in places like Houma.
They were told it may be the last day of the month, if not October.
Wow.
So, but I got to say this about the people in Houma. They are very, and in Southern, the Cajun people, period. We had people coming up to the trailer and we're saying, hey, do you need food? Do you need this? Do you need that? Like, well, I'm good, but I'll take a couple. What? No, I don't want a full case. I just want two or three. That'll get me by. There are people who are worse off than me.
Wow. Concern for, yeah, other people. That's good.
Yeah. And the last thing is people don't go down there.
Okay.
Unless you've got a contact to get stuff to people. Once you get very far south of New Orleans towards Houma and some of the other players, you're going to get stopped because they don't. It's not open for everybody. So if they want to donate, get a hold of Sean, and you can get in touch with me, and I'll tell them where to go.
Absolutely, and you've done a good job of that, and you have the contacts down there, which we know around here what people need, but specifically you've been down there and talked with them. So as you talk to somebody who goes, man, I want to give something, I want to help those people out there, number one, two, and three item on your list, what would those donations be?
Well, to start with, the Terrebonne Sheriff's Department and the Houma Police Department have asked for frog tom wraps put around their necks, because when we left Sunday, the heat index was 115.
Yeah, y'all know what those things he's talking about. You can get these things, and they'll cool you. You wet them down, put them on, they cool you down. You can take a bunch of those. You can take a bunch of those. That'd be great.
And still bottled water and charcoal.
Okay.
Ice is starting to come, and most of Houma has running water, but all of the smaller communities around do not. A lot of them, I know for a fact that Lower Dulac lost their water tower. They have no water. As far as city water.
Wow.
They have none. So they're relying on everybody to Cajun Navy to bring it to them and different rescue organizations. So
what about the homes there, Walt, in that Houma area? You know, we talk about the kind of topography there. You come from Grand Isle and get to Houma. It doesn't rise a whole bunch unless you're on a small ridge between the two places. What kind of, did they get surge in the houses, or was it rainwater? What are you seeing there?
Most of what I saw in Houma, I didn't get very far south in Houma, was wind damage, a lot of flooding from the bayous, but when I turned down my street, there was nothing left of several houses. I mean, they were gone. There was a slab.
Wow.
And the rest of it piled up by the road. I don't think there was a house in Houma that didn't have damage.
That's saying something. That's saying something.
Some shape, form, or fashion.
So, and how many of those, I mean, I wonder if somebody's home is gone. Obviously, they're displaced, or how many people that left and evacuated have yet to get back in? Any sense of that? Were there a bunch of people, not many people? What did it seem like?
I don't know. My friend had city water, and he had natural gas to run his stove and his hot water heater, and there were a standing tree with people coming in and out, taking showers.
Yep.
He was cooking and feeding everybody in the neighborhood, and there were other people come from down in the bayous that didn't have anything. There were several couples that came to his house, and they had nothing.
Wow. All right.
I mean, put a tarp over the front porch, and that's where they're living, because there's nothing left of the house.
And you know, tell folks, I mean, Houma, while we're talking about the Louisiana Marsh, Houma is not on the Gulf. It's not a beachfront place. I mean, we're talking about inland here.
Yeah, it's several miles inland.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to drive an hour south. We're closer to the Gulf of Mexico than Houma is.
So, I mean, this is...
Driving down the road.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, and still the damage there. So when you start talking about it, makes a hair stand up on the back of my neck. People coming in from other communities to the south, how bad... I mean, if Houma's like that, how bad must they be?
I know is Fushan is... still there, but not recognizable. Grand Isle is gone. Dulac, most of that is gone. Their water system, like I said, the tower fell. There's a friend of mine from our camp down there that is staying with my Army brother, and they don't have anything to go home to. Their place was filth, and that's all that's left.
Once again, let's talk about this. What you did this last weekend, you're going to keep doing it till the need is not there. Or the supplies are not there. So if somebody listening to us right now wants to donate, and I love it, that way you put it down, those frog dog things, those cooling bands, that's great. The water and charcoal, this is stuff we can all know how to go get. Where do we make these donations? Where do we drop this off?
Right now, the town of Somerdale, town hall in Somerdale, Alabama. Dr. Pishek's dentist office in Robertsdale, which is across the road from Robertsdale Feed Store. Right next to the high school, and Middleton Auto Parts.
Okay, so they'll know you go in there and say, hey, here's some charcoal I want to donate. Just say, hey, I want to donate this with for Walt's next trip.
Yep. And there is a place called the Eagle's Den. It is a it's like an Elk's Lodge on the side of Foley. They actually, someone called your station and got my number, and they have been donating stuff to us, too. And they are in the old Floribama, not Floribama, Sam and Shine's. Just on the south side of Foley, going down in a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hardly miss them.
Excellent. All right. And we'll do the same thing we did last week, y'all. If you're riding down the road, I get it. If you didn't get all that information, you can just send us a text or holler at us here, and we'll put you in touch with our buddy Walt, who will be going back to Houma.
Thanks for all your help, man.
Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate what you're doing for people. I really, really do.
All right, man.
There you go.
I'll holler at you next week.
All right. Please do. And he's going to keep us updated because Walt's going down there and taking those supplies. I know he is not the only one doing it. So, keep sending us information as have y'all, you were doing last week, how you're helping. I thought it was really interesting, too, that folks at like Interior Exterior Supply and the Bishop State Truck Driving College both donating the trucks to be able to get stuff over there. So if your church or your civic group, you're taking donations in for things like water and charcoal and all the other things people might need. You're like, hey, we can get these, but how the heck are we going to get them down there? Well, there's folks stepping up that are saying, hey, we got the trucks and the forklifts to be able to load the pallets and take the stuff down there. So get with me. Let me put you with them and get those materials sent that way. All right. By the way, too, it's funny. After what we talked about in the first half hour of this show, headline came out here. Rand Paul says, do Wuhan documents show that Fauci lied? So you'll hear more about this. We dug up the story from The Intercept, but now it's made its way to FoxNews.com as well. Hey, when we come back, we're talking clean water here at home in Alabama. Clean Water Alabama joins us next right here on Midday Mobile.